worship Him. Oh, I'm in heaven body. Call out to Him. We need Him. Singing Savior. Lord. Oh, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Hear our cry, Lord. We invite you this morning. Bless your people, Lord. Lift them up this morning. Thank you, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord.
While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Let's stand as we sing it with all of our heart. Sing and Savior, oh, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Lord, hear our humble cry. While on others thou art calling, Lord, do not pass me by. Lift your voices, lift your hands to Him. Lord, we're singing Savior, oh Savior, Lord, hear our humble cry, Lord, and while on others thou art called. Pass me by.
Glory. Just give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Praise the Lord. Brother Mark, you can come on up. Praise Him. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. He is my everything. 4:17. He is my all. He's my everything, both great and small. He is my everything. He is my all. Himself for me, He made everything new. He is my everything, none other will do. He is my everything, He is my all. My everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me. He made everything new. He is my everything. None other will do. Is He everything to you?
He is my everything, He is my all, He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me. He made everything.
He is my everything. None other will do.
Amen. Amen. Always be surrendered unto God. You never know when it might come into your heart and bless you. So we thank him for his presence being here with us this morning. And just ask him again to bless us. As I lay on the bed last night, I've had a question in my mind about the new birth. And I couldn't sleep. And the Lord just came along.
Amen.
Gave me an answer that I've been looking for. Amen. Amen.
Glory.
We're going to read this morning from Psalm 116. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful, God, for your kindness and your mercy unto us. Lord, we thank you for visiting us, Lord, touching in our hearts, Father, uplifting, Lord. Wherever you're welcome, Lord, we know that you will come. Lord, we thank you this morning for the welcoming spirit that is here, and just bless each and every heart, Father, that they may receive that which they have need to hear and to believe. We ask you to bless all in the building, in Sunday school classes, Lord, and in the sanctuary. Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Vernon and touch him in a special way, Father, that he may bring forth unto us what we have need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going to read from Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication.
Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live.
The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow.
Then we call out upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful.
The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me.
Return unto my rest, O my soul. The Lord has dealt bountifully with thee.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears.
I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I believe, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted.
I said in my haste, all men are liars.
What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits for me?
I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy enemy. Thou hast loosed my bonds.
I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I will call upon the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Say, I will offer that sacrifice of thanksgiving. We got so much to be thankful for. So much to trust him and to hold on. When you see this world and how wicked it's getting, and it's bad. It's real bad. But praise the Lord, we can trust him. Praise the Lord. Wherever I go, I'll praise him. It's in the midst of his people, I'm going to praise him. Wherever we go, wherever I can, wherever I go, I'll pray. praise him whenever I can. I'll praise him for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I go, I'll praise him whenever I can. I'll praise him for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Once more, wherever I go, I'll praise him wherever I can. I'll praise him for his love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Amen. That name lifted us by his grace. And that's why we got the victory. 22, all in that name. We sing 22. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, it's personal. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And oh glory, thank you Lord, the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. and about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Glory to the Lord. Amen. I keep thinking about Brother Dale preach. He said, you know, we are living that story. It's not just an old story anymore. We are living it. The Bible is not complete. We are actually living it today, right now, by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing that first verse in that chorus. Let's worship him with all of our heart. I'm excited for what the Lord is doing, what he has done. Amen. And living it. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in glory. Praise him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. And praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's all due to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. Are you excited this morning for the word? Amen. I can't help but seeing Brother Wade and Brother Vernon. My goodness. My heart just like, Lord, you're wonderful. 2015, March, the Lord took me to the Philippines for the first time by myself without my family. I got there and they was telling me, do you know Brother Wade? He was just there about a week or two before. So I was like, I remember him when I was real little. Because we live in Maryland. I've been in Maryland for 20 years. But I remember, that old brother. And at that time, I had no idea that God would move us to back to Georgia. We weren't looking. We were steady working. I'd been there for almost 20 years. And to see how God has worked things out and brought us all back down to Georgia. And then Brother Vernon's here. And as I said, next week we'll be there with him. So God knows. Amen. Brother Dale always says, we always think God is not doing something. He is doing something all the time. Amen. You excited for the word this morning? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. We'll sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart. And Brother Dale, you can come on up. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen and amen. We're glad to have Brother Vernon with him. Glad to have his wife with us. She's back there and we appreciate them coming to fellowship with us. Just say, open the eyes of our heart, Lord, as we hear the word. Come on, brother.
Eyes of my heart.
Everybody knows Brother Vernon here. We don't have to introduce him.
Holy, 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 lift it up, shining in the light of your glory, and pour out your power and love. Sing, oh, holy, holy, holy.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. And I would like to bring you the greetings from the Philippines and our church there in Manila. Our pastor here, Brother Samuel Dale, had the privilege to be there last 2005, and Brother Wade in 2015. And so they know you. They are watching your services here once in a while. And of course, they know that I'm here right now, and we are thankful that the Lord has brought us here by His grace. Can you be seated for a while? Just I will bring greetings from the people in the Philippines. And of course, you know, most of the ministers who have been here before, Brother Roel, Brother Danny, Brother Nestor, I think Brother Lanlan also, these are the pastors that have been here in the past. And it's always good to see, to know that when you go to a certain pulpit and a certain church and the pastor does not introduce you anymore, that means you are at home, right? Yeah. Yeah. Because I have been here, I think the first time that I first went to the U.S. was in 2002. And during that time, I think Brother Samuel Dale, he hosted a missions meeting here where Brother Ed Biscal was the speaker. And since it was a missionary meeting, they invited me to come over. We don't know each other yet during that time, and I was there to speak about what Bible Way was doing in the Philippines, of all this translation and distribution and printing of books. So that was the first time I met Brother Samuel Dale in that meeting. So I was not able to go to this church, but we had some other schedules. But I mean, I met the brothers and the sisters. I was just thankful, and again, maybe a couple of years later or 3 years later, Brother Samuel went to the Philippines with Brother Ernie, and you know, all of you know Brother Ernie, and we went around the Philippines. We went to some churches, and I'm not particularly sure what the exact one, but it was that time that Brother Samuel started supporting the mission works in the Philippines, sending these funds for different churches. And I would say that it has accomplished a lot in our country, in the Philippines, helping the brothers and sisters in the countryside. But not only that, in the past few years, I have been engaged together with Brother Nestor and Brother Danny in the Asian missions. So we were able to reach out to the other countries like Cambodia, Thailand, Vietnam, even to the Pakistan. So, and the Brother Samuel has always assisted us in those mission work. So we don't know where the last seed is laying. Amen. But if the Lord leads us to go into some place, then we just do it as the Lord leads. And I would say that your church here has been a part of those mission works. So whatever is accomplished there, I believe we are all part of it, in prayers, in your support, in the financial support and everything. And so I would say we baptized recently, in our last few trips in Cambodia, we have baptized about 9 souls there. Just continue to add to the Lord. It might not be as many as believers in the Philippines. Amen. Because, as you know, Cambodia is predominantly a Buddhist country. So they don't have no knowledge any whatsoever about the Bible. But when you start, when the Lord starts opening their eyes, then we're just thankful with what the Lord's doing. And what we are doing is just a small part of the big move of the Lord. It's nothing, not that we are great or anything, but we believe that it's just a privilege that the Lord helped us to be part of those. It was really Brother Nestor, Brother Danny, who he spearheaded those Asian missions way back in the early 2000s. So the Lord is now yielding. We can see now the fruits of all their labors, and we thank you for all your prayers. And so I'm here on my fifth time, I believe. The last time I was here was the 40th anniversary, or I don't know what how many years, but that was the 4th of July, 2015. And I remember I was in the immigration there, and the immigration officer just put me on hold. And he said, "So why are you here?" And I said, I'm a pastor. So again, he asked a question, "So why are you here?" I said, "I was invited to preach for a church here in their church anniversary. And of course, I have the documents and all the invitation. But you know, sometimes in the immigration, they try to test you. And so he said, if you're a pastor, what are you preaching on Sunday? And I said, since it's the 4th of July, then I'll be preaching on the book of Exodus. It's about liberation anyway. So, and so he didn't ask any more questions. And so sometimes you have to just go around them, you know, and, but I'm thankful that, this is my fifth time, and, being the fifth time, it's, you know, number five is the number of grace, and by God's grace, I have my wife here with me. Irene, amen. This is her first time to be in the U.S. We just came from Brother Ed Biscoe's church a week ago, and, I was telling, when we were younger, I cannot bring her to me when I fly because, our children were still small during that time, but now they're all graduate, they have graduated from the school. One's already married, four already adults, and they're all, have their own work. So I guess I told my wife, you can come with me. Don't wait until we're 75 years old. But we cannot walk anymore that much. So at least she will experience what she was seeing in the pictures when I was going here and going there. And, I always, pray to the Lord that one day I'll bring her here because the family of Brother Samuel Dale, as I told before, they're like family to me. I mean, Brother Wade and Brother Terrence and their families, Sister Anna. I was surprised to see their children. I mean, like Abigail, for example, when I was here in 2007, she's just a little baby and now she's grown up. And you know, when you see somebody that are growing up and still continuing to in the Lord, that makes you really joyful, you know, that, and I believe any minister would like to see people, you know, being in the Lord for many years and seeing them again or growing up, some of them getting married already. But I still remember many faces, amen, the familiar faces here. I may not remember all the names, but I mean, I remember all the faces. And, again, I'm very, at home when I go to this church, and sometimes I don't want to over familiarize myself, but that's the way it's, I mean, Brother Wade's like a brother to me. And I mean, they have ministered to the Philippines. The people there love them. And I'm just thankful that I'm here right now. And of course, Brother John, Sister Alicia, as he has been telling, they're part of our church family in the Philippines. Has been there 2015. And I don't know if he have told you, but when he went there the first time by himself, and the company checked him in the hotel, in the Shangri-La Hotel. And he was looking for a church. And he found that there was a church just below the room we were staying. And that was the first time it was not the first time, I believe, seeing him way back in the years when he was still in the church of Brother Earl Heist. But we didn't have a chance to talk. But since then, when he brought his family to the Philippines in the ending, the last quarter of 2015, and every year thereafter, he stayed there. He stayed there for months. And, Brother Samuel was saying he was surprised because I told him that Brother John is preaching in our church. Yeah, not only in our church, he preaches in church of Brother Danny, Brother Nestor, and in the International Youth Camp. Yeah, so, I said, maybe he's a secret preacher here, a secret agent preacher, rather. Amen. So, but we were blessed in the ministry of Brother John and his family, of course, I used to call his son Little John. Amen. Mel and Anna. So we're just happy, you know, that, they've been there. So, in our country, I preach half English, half Tagalog. Okay. Of course, when I read the quote, it's in English. I explain it in Tagalog. So, my son that just do the translation for them. So, I'm hoping that one day they will learn the whole language. Nobody needs to translate anymore. Amen. So, we heard his testimony, and many young people were blessed by his testimony. And when I heard that he was going back to Atlanta because of the work, I said, you know, they know this church, of course, I'll be happy if you'll be in the church of Brother Samuel Dale, because if I go there, I can see you, right? And everything, I mean, the prophet said, God is behind every move, every move. So there's no accident. No, I believe that everything that happens is for a reason, for a purpose. And so now the Lord just places us together. And of course, Brother Luis, Sister Christine, yeah, they have been in the Philippines. It's always good to preach in a church where there's a Filipino, a Filipina. I mean, yeah. So we met. I met them when they were in, I think, South Carolina with Brother Gene Williams when they were when Sister Christine was still there. So anyway, this is, I said, I'm very familiar with you and you're familiar with me. So I just want to speak out what is in my heart. Sure. Nothing doctrinal, because you have good teachers here. You see, when Brother Wade was there, I was telling him, yes, it's a teaching gift. He can, you know, many people were blessed in the way he laid down the word. So we are thankful for that gift. Amen. We went to the mountains, we went to the coastal areas, we went to the churches, church anniversaries, and wherever he goes. The gift just manifests itself. And it's a blessing to the people. Many of the things that he taught, I still have in my notes, so sometimes you have to expound it. And I believe every fivefold ministry has its own gift. And I like what the prophet said, that you have to be what God chose you to be. If you just try to imitate others or just a mimic, and you will not be a success. So that is the way God chose him to be. So he's being a blessing, and this is the way that God chose me to be. So I hope that we'll be blessed by the word of the Lord. Amen. Can you now please stand, and I'll just read a couple of scriptures as our opening text. Let's all bow our heads and let's pray to the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for this great privilege, this great opportunity, Lord, that you have given us to be with the saints here in Lula, Georgia. Lord, believing, Lord, that there's something in it for us today. We may be here for some other reason, Lord, but we believe, Lord, that you have a portion for each one of us, the old ones, the young ones, the middle age. Lord, you can speak to our hearts directly, Lord, by your word, by the preaching of the word. So I pray that you give us the unction, Lord. Give me the anointing as I speak your word. Give the anointing, Lord, to the hearts and the ears of my brothers and sisters, that there will be a free flow of the Spirit, Lord, and you may have preeminence in our midst. At the end of this message, Lord, we pray that you get all the glory and the honors. For this is our prayer, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For this morning, I have a little subject that I would like to speak on. Just speak out of my heart, brokenness in spirit. Brokenness in spirit. And this is where I got this subject from, the book of Psalm 51. Let's read a couple of verse 16 and 17. It says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delights not in the burnt offering." Verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Amen. Amen. And in the book of Galatians, in the New Testament, this Paul now is speaking, exhorting the Galatians to bear one another's burden, that if anyone will backslide, he encouraged them to restore such one in the spirit of meekness, you know, to consider thyself, that any one of us can be tempted as well. So in verse 3, chapter 6, verse 3, said, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, then he deceiveth himself." Amen. Amen. God bless his word. We may now be seated. Amen. So, in the book of Jeremiah, it says there that the heart is deceitful in all things. You can deceive yourself of believing that you are somebody, right? And people today, I mean, the general public, the general population, they always think that because they were able to study in college, you know, reach a certain position, acquire so many possessions in their life, they could think that they are somebody. When you apply for a job, for example, you have to give all your credentials in your resume, put everything, all the training that you have undergone, because you have to prove to them that you are somebody. And I believe back in the 1970s, there was this popular song popularized, and it goes to say like, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. It is as if that we lack loving ourselves. But you know, we are living in the days and the times, people in the book of Timothy says, people will be lovers of their own selves. There's no scarcity of loving oneself. Every people love himself or herself, right? That's why he feeds himself. He sometimes he even abuses himself for so many things because he loves himself too much, right? And the Bible is, that psychology will tell us, okay, so you can love everybody, but also don't forget to take care of yourself, to love yourself. But that's psychology, you know. But in the scriptures, it says there that we should deny ourselves. We should love God above all. We should love our neighbors as ourselves. So it's already a given, right, that people, you don't have to teach, to let them to go to school to teach them to love themselves. People are always loving themselves, right? That's why when a baby is born, you will notice that all their fists are clenched like this because they want everything for themselves, right? But when a person dies, he opens his hand. You cannot see a dead man with a clenched fist unless he died so angry, right? But if he's a normal man that he dies, he just opens his hands. He said, I'm nothing. Right? He gives everything because he knows that he cannot bring anything that he has taken here in this life, but only his character. Right? And so, having this in mind, we see that people wants to put up themselves. Right? People would think that they are highly better or say better than other people. Not only in, we can look at politics, how they fight one another, how they wanted to be the best, right? You go to the corporate side, they do it. Go to the sports, everybody wants to be the champion. Right. Nobody wants to be the loser. Nope. Right. Everybody will train hard all the rest of his life just to be champion for maybe a period of time. Yep. Right. And then the people will start forgetting them. Yep. When you go to the ministry, it's almost the same thing. You go around so many countries and you see people, because of course the prophet said there will be three kinds of believers. There will be people who are standing as ministers, as missionaries and everything, but all they want to do is to, get recognition for themselves, you see. And that's very true. That's very hard to say, but it's the truth.
Amen.
See, not every people, not every part of the fivefold ministry are really part of the fivefold ministry. Some, they have their own personal agenda. You see? But we don't condemn them. We just look at ourselves. So I want to look at myself this morning, where I am at. Okay. I don't want to continue serving the Lord without knowing the motives and objectives of my heart. I believe, Brother Branham always tells us that we need to check if our motives and objectives are right. Sometime in 1964, the message is Shalom, and it was a January of the 1964, I believe, and he was doing his introduction and said in his prayer he said, Lord, help me to make my motive and objective right.
Amen.
He was telling that. Now this is 1964 January, and about 2 years later he's gonna leave the scene. You would think that this is a prophet of God. And he could have been almost perfect 2 years before he died. But he was humble enough to say, Lord, I want to check my motives and objectives. I want to know if it is right in your eyes. See, this is the prophet that we believe in. And he has the humility to admit that he might have a wrong objective of something. He might have a wrong motive of something. And you see, now it's amazing to know that many ministers today would think that they all have the right motives and objectives.
Yeah.
But the prophet we believe in,
amen,
right, he's so humble,
amen,
that even the last 2 years of his life, he was still praying, Lord, make my motive,
amen,
and objective right in your eyes.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's a lesson to us to think that every start of the year, like this month of January, it is always good to check ourselves and, Lord, do I have the right motive?
Amen.
the right Rabbi, the right objective in the things that I'm doing before we go forward into what we want to do for this year 2019. Okay, so being this, if we don't have a broken spirit, you know, God will allow things to happen in our life that we may experience some things. Maybe it's too hard for us, but it will break our spirit and will make us right in the eyes of God. Sometimes. So, but no, if at the start we already have this humility that we need, you see, then sometimes you don't have to go through those things. But I believe that every son and daughter of God will have to experience those things. It's part of our training. It's part of our molding, the character that needs to be molded in our hearts. Because if a person is not broken in his spirit, he will have the tendency. It's human nature. It's almost a human tendency that you feel superior to some other people, right? Whether whatever country you belong to, whether you go here or you go there, there's always a human tendency if you are not a believer. But you want to be superior over somebody. Okay? Once you get a hold of some position, or maybe you're recognized by some group, then there's always a tendency to be lifted up in pride. Right? I remember King Uzziah being blessed by the Lord, not because he was good, but because he was obeying the Lord. And so, see, I always tell to my church, salvation is unconditional. We were saved by grace of God, not by our works. But the blessings of the Lord, this is conditional. If we obey the Lord, then blessings comes. And if we disobey the Lord, then curse comes in our life. And you reap all the consequences of our wrong action. When we have a youth fellowship in our church, I always tell my youth, don't, you know, if you can avoid doing mistakes in your life, if you have given the freedom of choice, just choose always the right way. Because every time you choose the wrong way, there's always consequence of your action. And I was telling them, as I testify, I have made bad decisions in my teenage years, in my early 20s, that I suffered the consequence 20 years later. You know, this consequence will run after you. And sometimes if we are honest enough in ourselves, the reason why we are in this position because of the wrong things that we have done in the past. Right? And why does the Lord allow this consequence? Because we will start hating the sin that we have done in the past. And we will not go back to that anymore. And when you talk to the younger generation, you're talking out of experience. It's not theology anymore, but it is all knowledge. It's no wisdom, right? Because you yourself have experienced it. So you are not talking about another man's story, but it is your own story, right? So, When we are obedient to the Lord, we are blessed. But sometimes if we are not able to handle it the right way, we will look at others who cannot follow the message on a little lower scale, right? And sometimes we force it. I was telling our parents, we have what I call the parents fellowship, where we gather all the parents and teach them about how to be a good parent, not according again to psychology, but according to what the message tells us. And so I'm telling you, sometimes many of them drive their children out of their house because they try to implement the, you know, like a tradition or what the message according to their opinion. And so instead of blessing their children, they drive them away, because they think they're so righteous. See, they are so righteous that they don't make mistakes anymore. But then the Lord will send a condition, a situation, or any circumstance that will break our spirit. And then at the end, we will realize we are nothing. See, there, this in John chapter 15, you can read that there that apart from the Lord, if he is the vine, we are the branches. If we abide in him, we can bear much fruit. And apart from him, we cannot do anything, right? We cannot do anything. But the opposite verse in Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, how can Paul say that? Because he had an experience. His spirit was broken, right? And maybe later, a little bit later, we'll look at this, some of the characters of the Bible, which I know you are all familiar, but just to emphasize a thought this morning that the Lord sometimes need to break our spirit, yeah, right. So we can have compassion to understand other people,
right?
When I was a young minister, I was not even a pastor. When I preach in the pulpit, you know, when you're a young minister, Brother Wade, you just do this. It's either you do it or you go to hell. That's no grace at all. No grace at all. And I go around. I preach so hard, and the people, instead of being blessed, they just get condemnation, right? And then, you know, as you grow older, the Lord gives you grace, and He tells you that you're not as good as anybody. You're not better than them. I'm only a. It just fell on my lot to preach, but I'm no better than the people I preach to. Okay, and God will allow, you know, sometimes some things in our church, in our own family, like sometimes your children will backslid, and you will realize that it's not because you're a believer that your children will be true believers, right? See, and God allows these things. He doesn't want you to have a broken family, but sometimes God allows these things so you can know that we are just dependent on the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, see, you will stop demanding from others. Because if you are nobody, you cannot go out and demand. Now, the reason why you are demanding from somebody, because you think you are somebody, when in fact we are nobody, right? So here we realize, like, I would just like to read this particular verse in Luke chapter 16. Now, just to tell you how the Lord sees people who thinks so high of themselves. See, in Luke chapter 16, he was talking to the Pharisees. He said, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. If you esteem so highly for yourself among men, I mean, it's like in modern English you will say, I'm better than you, than others. And for God, that is an abomination. And if you look at the word abomination, it looks like a not so hard word, right? But it's an abomination. And so, I heard from an old preacher before how he describes abomination in the modern days. It's like he said, in the times of the Exodus, the Israelites will go out to the wilderness. You know, they don't have toilets during that time. They will they get their spades and dig a hole and do their toilet duties there. And then they have to cover it. Because if they will not cover it, it will be an abomination. So in modern language, translate that to modern language, it is an flush toilet. That is an abomination. See? Unflush toilet, right? So if we think of ourselves higher than the others, we are like unflush toilets in the sight of the Lord. That's how he describes it, right? It's an abomination in the sight of the Lord. In other words, whatever we do, our righteousness, it's just like rubbish in the eyes of the Lord. Of course, we accomplish something by the grace of God and God is honored, then God will give us a reward. God is a rewarding God, right? But we cannot boast of what we want. Well, we can do in the sight of God. I have a couple of quotations here, if we can put it on the board. This is from the message, Jairus, a Secret Believer, 1955. It's about being self-centered. It says here, I have taught much. This Brother Branham speaking now, he is going on missionary trips. He said he have taught the heathens in Africa, in India, in many different parts of the world. But the worst unbelievers you deal with is not the man who has never heard. You would think that the worst sinner would be the man that, you know, the unbelievers. But he said, it's the man who is self-centered in his own way and won't heed to God. That's the worst sinner. Because if you are so self-centered, if a person is so self-centered, see, you will not heed correction, right? You will not need nobody to teach you. He said that's the worst kind to deal with. For they seem to be just so centered that nothing can move them. Don't talk to me. I don't believe it, right? So that's the worst kind of person if you are self-centered. In another message, he was talking about King Uzziah in the message Influence, preached in 1962. He said, they got lifted up, self-willed, self-centered, pride, that you can't tell nothing to God, God can't find a way to get into their hearts. Yep. It's because they become so know-it-all.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to talk to a person that he knows everything.
Yeah.
He just wants to talk, and if you talk, he doesn't care. He doesn't want to listen. Right. And I've met many people, you know, that when you start talking to them, they will not listen. And they just want to talk and talk and talk, and you listen and listen and listen.
Yeah.
See, he's not interested in what you have to say.
Right.
He's interested in what he has or she has to say.
Right.
See, these are self-centered people.
Right.
And the prophet said that this is not a nice attitude for a person.
Right?
Right? Because I don't know about you, but you want to be with people that, you know, you can talk and you can listen to them also.
Right.
That's good fellowship.
Right.
Because if only one is talking, then that's not fellowship. That's just like listening to a news reporter or recording, right? So we want discussion. We want fellowship. We want to talk to one another, right? Exhort one another. And so if you are a person who is self-centered, he always wants to talk about himself, right? Now, the Lord allowed, I said, events in the life of the people before actually he uses you. He wants to do something in your life. And when we come to this kind of a subject, the first people in the Bible that comes to our mind is like Moses, Job, like Peter and Paul. And these people, before God have used them mightily, God has to break their spirit.
Right.
See, we all know that Moses, he was predestined to be the deliverer of Egypt, of the Israelites in the land of Egypt. And I believe that when he was growing up, her mother, Jochebed, was already rehearsing to him that you were like this, this is your testimony, this is how the Lord protected you. And so while Moses was learning from the great educational system of the Egyptians, the prophet said he was trained in the great military traditions of Egypt. But in the midst of all those training and exposure, here is a little nanny. But actually his mother telling him that you have a purpose. You have a reason. Now, while he was growing up until he reached the age of 40. And I believe that maybe it has gone into the head of Moses and said, oh, I'm the deliverer. I'm the great man Moses that the Lord will use to deliver his people. And the prophet said, well, the Pharaoh was looking at the window, he saw a bunch of slaves, but Moses had the vision. He saw a bunch of, not the slaves, but these are children of God that needs to be delivered.
Right.
So he had the right vision, he had the right exposure, he had the right training, God that has vindicated his life, but you know, he's still the man Moses. And sometimes if you know so many things, it gets into your head and you just realize when you face the mirror, your head is getting bigger and bigger every day. Right?
Yeah.
Now sometimes you can, but people doesn't notice, they will notice their stomach getting big. Right? But you will not notice your head getting big. Because it's a little bit spiritual, you know? So, but by the way you talk, the way you move, the way you see people, that will speak what is in your heart. Right? And so here's Moses. One day he just killed an Egyptian, right?
Yep.
Because he said, I will start my ministry now. Right? I will start what God has called me to do.
Yep.
But you know, he got afraid.
Yeah, right.
Why? Because the anointing was not there. He was trained,
but
the anointing was not there.
Right,
and fast forward 40 years later, we know what happened. He was brought into the wilderness under his father-in-law, the Midianite, Jethro. You know, God needed 40 years for Moses to be under the supervision of his father-in-law, right? So he can be broken.
Amen.
And I was amazed, Brother Wade, you know, because in the Philippines, some of the people there will be with their mother-in-law or father-in-law for 1 year and they'll be totally broken. Just 1 year.
Yeah.
But Moses need to be with his father-in-law for 40 years.
Right.
See? To strip away everything that he learned. Not actually strip away, because the leadership principles that he learned, he used it. But this time God is now, you know, directing his ways. Sometimes your profession that the Lord has called you to be, he will use it in the ministry that he will give you. I have this kind of background in my own life, and I didn't go too far from it. what the Lord has allowed me to be in my younger years, God is using it in my ministry.
Right?
I was trained in the Philippines to be in to be in the Philippine Army, in the Ranger, to be in this guerrilla warfare, to be in the mountains, in the jungles. But I never became, I left the military at a very young age. So everything I learned, I was not able to use it. But many years later, I went to the mission field, the jungles, the mountains. Not carrying a gun or a combat backpack, but a Bible. But you know, the training's the same, right? But they told me how you adapt in different cultures. When you go to a certain location, you have to know their culture, to adapt yourself. And all those principles were used not in the battlefield, but in the mission field. So I said, nothing was wasted. Our experiences in the past, our training in the past, how the Lord used us, when the Lord uses us, it will all be used. Like, for example, if you're a teacher in a school, God will use that gift of teaching maybe in the church, in a Sunday school, as a ministry. All these things, God will use it because He knows where the position that you need to be at a certain time, at a certain point in your life. So God allows this, but He needs to break, like Moses, He broke Moses, right? That's why if we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, when he was already being called by the Lord, just a portion of this where he said, in chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto them, "God, who am I that I should go?" Now, this is a broken Moses. 40 years later, he would say, "Oh, Lord, I can do it with my closed eyes." But now here is Moses. He said, "Who am I? How can I do this?" He's 40 years later, he's already a nobody. He was already broken, right? But the Lord said, "Now I can use you. Now I can use you. Before I cannot use you, but now I can use you." I became a believer when I was 30 years old. I started preaching when I was 33 years old. But in the first 3 years of being a believer, God break me in so many ways that I didn't know why, the reason I cannot explain. But looking back, I said, I needed all those experience. Otherwise, I will not be able to fulfill the ministry that He has entrusted me. You know, at the end of the day, when I finish my tour of duty, I'll just stop. I don't believe that any ministry will be going up, and you will become popular until the Lord comes. Because the Bible said, He must increase, and we must decrease. If in my ministry I will decrease and become recognized by so many people, then I fail. Because I fail to increase Jesus Christ and increase, instead I increase myself. So we must decrease. So if they will say, "Oh, you're not the," they don't know you anymore. It doesn't matter. Right? You know, there was in the 1950s, I believe, Brother Branham was speaking about the present stage of his ministry. And he mentioned about Demas. Demas with Paul. Paul said, "Demas has forsaken me. And it's, for me, it's so, you would say that it is supernatural that Paul as a Demas, Brother Branham as a Demas Shakarian in his stage also. And they both did the same thing. They forsaken the prophet, you know. And so here's Demas. He said, Demas forsook Paul. But Brother Branham said, "I don't believe that Demas went off to nightclubs, backslid." No, he didn't do that. He said, he was a fine, cultured man, the prophet said. He was smart. He was intellectual. He was a spirit-filled man, the prophet said. But then, when he saw that there's seemingly a falling in the ministry of Paul, because he was in prison, this great apostle Paul that can strike you blind, he said, now he's in the prison. And he has only one coat. Yeah. And he said, "Oh, tell Timothy to bring my one coat and bring my old, my scrolls and everything." He doesn't have anything in himself. Yeah. So here is Demas. He said, "Oh, maybe Paul, his ministry is over."
Yeah.
See, because the mindset of Demas about the ministry you will just get popular and higher and higher and higher. Yeah. See? And if you have that kind of thinking, then once the ministry starts to lay low, see, you will say, oh, Brother Samuel is finished. Yeah. No, it's not finished. Because after we have done what we need to do, I believe the Lord will increase and we have to decrease.
Amen. Right.
People will not have to talk about us anymore.
Right.
See, if I go to Cambodia, for example, and they will be talking about me, then I failed. But if they will be talking about the message that I preach, then I have succeeded. See, as I was telling them, one day you will forget me. You will forget these people that the Lord has used. Maybe you will still respect them, but you know, new ministry will come up if the Lord will tarry. Right? And this new ministry will come up, the young ministers, anointed preachers.
Right.
See? It's not a competition anyways.
No.
See? We just want to do what we want to do.
Amen.
See? And that's the way it has to go. I mean, God has to break us, so when He uses us, all the glory goes to God.
Right.
Now we see in the book of Job, if we open in the book of Job in the first chapter, this is the testimony or the statement here about Job. He said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Good family, right? His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500. And all this the belongings that he has. And he said, he was the greatest of all men of the East. Nothing said about being humble.
No, right.
See? But he was perfect and upright.
Yep.
He stood evil. He was great in the eyes of men. See? But the Lord needs to break Job.
Right.
This is an example for all of us.
Sure.
So in the next few chapters, God was breaking Job.
Yep. All right.
In fact, it came to a point that Job was already questioning the Lord. Lord, I did not do something bad. Why is this happening to me?
Yep.
And they are best friends.
Yep.
That instead of encouraging him, maybe you're a secret sinner.
Yeah. Oh,
see?
Yeah.
You know, you see, when we do something and the people, when you are in your high, people, you know, they praise you. But when you're in your low, people say, oh, maybe you've done something wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Right? It's always that way. Even coming from, believers themselves, right? That's why in one of the messages said, the prophet said, look at Job, a perfect man, a just man. And God permitted the evil devil to come upon him and chastise him and everything else for the perfecting of his spirit.
Amen.
God was, I mean, here in the verses that we read, he was already perfect. He was upright. He stood evil. But the Lord said, but the prophet said, he allowed everything else to happen to perfect his spirit.
Right.
You know, the Lord is still in the business of perfecting all of us.
Amen.
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 Until it's not finished until it's finished.
Amen.
See? Until we hit the rock bottom, then that's the only time that we can be perfected in our spirit. And so God uses evil spirit many times to work out His plan and His will. So of course, we know that the evil spirit cannot do anything in our life unless God allows him. He's just a tool in God's hand. It's not even somebody that we should be afraid of, you know. And now, 40 or 39 chapters later, now this is the confession of Job now after all the things that happened in his life. He said, in chapter 40, he said, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contend with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproved God, let him answer. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. Now the word vile means insignificant. He would not have told that in chapter 1. Because he was the greatest. How can you say that I'm insignificant? You know that you are great in the eyes of many people. And you know that you're doing good. You pray for your children. You intercede for them. Right? You preach. Maybe he's a preacher in his time. He has all the possessions. He doesn't need the help of other people. See? You know, I was wondering before, when I came into the message and was doing mission works, I said, why would the Lord not bless the Philippines in as much as the United States or Europe, European countries, where they have the purchase power of the dollar is more powerful than the pesos?
Right.
It was a puzzle to me because I always say that you are serving the same God that we are serving.
Amen.
So if God can bless you here, maybe God can bless us there. But you know, as I grow older, I realize that God makes other countries poor, other countries rich, so they can interact with each other. So they will depend on one another. So the rich will have the compassion to help the poor. The poor will have the humility to ask from the rich. It's not, you know, I have my own. Or I will say, in our church, we do mission works with our own funds, and that makes you somebody greater. You think you don't need anybody. But because the Lord make us different, right? And so God will use everybody to help everybody. You can preach in our church. I can preach in here. Brothers from Jamaica can go in and preach. You can go preach in India. And the Cambodians, when they received the message, they went to us and came preach for us. And then you see, that's the way the gift is going. Fivefold ministry, perfecting the saints, doing their different ways. But the thing is, we depend on one another. We cannot live alone. As the adage says, no man is an island. And I said, no church should isolate himself and don't have fellowship with other churches. Amen. Right? So we're just thankful for the open fellowship that we have. And so here's Moses and here's Job, and everything was stripped in what they have. Right? And so we go to the Old Testament, to the New Testament. The same thing happened to the apostles. Right? It's the very same thing. You know, Peter was with the Lord for 3.5 years, right? He was like the leader of the apostles. He was the oldest, I believe, among the apostles. And the Lord called him personally from being a fisherman. He was not just an ordinary fisherman. I think he was an expert fisherman that he is. He was fishing all his life. His father and mother might be fishermen also. So he knows everything. But one day God called him. And God told him, from this time on, you will not be fishermen, but fishers of men. In other words, from a secular job to a ministry, a sacred position. He has to leave everything. Not all of us are called to leave our former job, right? But there will be people who will be called to leave your job and go to the ministry, right? And, you know, sacrifice everything and, you know, go to the narrow path, the road less traveled. I was called when I was 30, I mean 33, to be in the ministry. I have a promising career in the field that I chose, but the Lord was calling me. And you know, when the Lord calls you, you have to let it go. And it took me a while to really let it go. I mean, I already quit from my secular job, but in my heart, I'm still in my job. That's why when I was 40 and I became a pastor, I went back to my former job and worked, and you know, things are not that the same anymore. I thought I would do good in my career, but I realized that it was not my skills. It was only by the grace of God. And this thing happened to Peter, you know, and he was there. He was serving the Lord. We would say in our modern times, he went full time in serving the Lord, right? And in Luke chapter 22, let me just read this. He said, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So the devil is not happy, amen. Satan is not happy when we are doing what we are called to do, right? But he said, this the Lord Jesus Christ saying, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So he was in the ministry, but he was not yet converted, right? He was not yet converted. But he said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And you know, Peter, with this kind of attitude, he always had this attitude that he is better than the others. And he said to the Lord, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death. And we know that's a lie. It is not true. He speaks faster than what he thinks. Right? Yeah. See? And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And we know that happened, right? He denied the Lord 3 times. And so this is Peter. See? So it was the breaking time of Peter. Now he realized later on, after he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's not good after all. What he said that he will be with the Lord in prison or in death, it's not true. Because he denied the Lord. Right? So, if we look on the next, because you know, these Gospels, they see the different angles, right? And here is John seeing how Peter, after he was broken in his spirit, right? Now this is another Peter. This is another Peter, a different attitude of Peter. Now, this is in John, the last chapter of John, book of John, is in 21. He said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and the wise showed himself. And so, Simon Peter was there and said, in verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. Yep. And you will tell, I thought the Lord already called you out of fishing.
Right.
Yeah. But here is Peter. He wanted to go back to his profession.
Right.
He loved so fishing so much,
yep,
right, that he will quit the ministry and go back to fishing.
Yep. Yep.
And you know why he quit the ministry? Because he said, I failed my Lord. Then he realized now that I thought I was the great apostle Peter, but he was not. He said, maybe if we would like to dramatize it a little bit, but Peter would said, I thought I loved the Lord, I served the Lord, but now I denied him, so I don't have any face, you know, to face him anymore. So maybe, just maybe, I'll just go back to what I'm good at. Right? He cannot go to farming. He doesn't know farming. He cannot be an IT expert because there was no computer during that time. So he went back to fishing, the profession he thought he was good at. And God has to teach him another lesson.
Amen.
Right? So when he go fishing, he was there overnight, and he found no fish. I mean, a veteran fisher would know what is the right time to go to the sea, and where is the right place where the seas are. We have pastors in the Philippines who are good in fishing, and when they just go out to the middle of the sea, they go back with all, you know, many fish, because they're expert on it. Right? And I can go to the middle of the sea, and I'll be lost. Yeah, because I am a city boy. I don't belong to the, I don't know farming. I don't know fishing. I know how to eat fish, but I don't know how fishing. See? But this Peter, you know, he knows everything about fishing, right? But God showed him, you are not a good fisher. You think you are, but you are not. And now here is Peter, you know, toiling all night and finding no fish. And then the Lord shows himself.
Amen.
And said, throw it to the right side.
Right.
Yep. Right? And he threw it to the right side, he found fish.
Yep.
So all the while, Peter was thinking, I'm a good fisher.
Yeah.
But it was not him who is good. It was the Lord.
Right,
who,
amen.
Because it was his training.
Right. Right.
It was his training, because later in the years in your life, he'll be fishing men.
Yes, amen.
Right? So the same principle that he's using, throwing the net to the fish, is the same principle that he will throw the gospel net to the people. But this time it's not fishes anymore. It's souls for the glory of the Lord. So in that, he didn't went much away, you know, from his calling. And so we see the next event that happened, you know, the Lord was asking him, Peter, do you love me? And you know the translation, Peter, do you agapo me? Right, it's the highest form of love.
Right.
And Peter would answer, Lord, I just phileo you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I mean, Peter could not say, Lord, I love you, I will go with you until you're dead, because he knows he failed the Lord already.
Right.
He was broken already, so he was humble. Right. Himself. Lord, I love you just a little bit,
uh-huh,
not too much.
Yeah.
Three times he has denied, three times the Lord asked him. And after three times he said, this is not the same Peter. He said, Lord, I really cannot reach that level of love for you. And the Lord said, no, we can start from where you are.
That's, right.
That's grace.
Right.
That's grace, right?
Right,
whatever we have, just give it to the Lord, then we can start on that small thing.
Amen.
See? Right. But this is not the same Peter that, oh Lord, my other fellow disciples may not love you the way I love you. But no, he said, Lord, because he knows already failed. He was already broken in spirit. But this time, you know, the rest of the story, he was used mightily by the Lord.
Story.
He was not, when he was crucified, he wanted himself crucified upside down, because he felt that it's not fitting for him to die the way the Lord died.
Right.
Yeah? Think about a broken spirit.
Amen.
He had a broken spirit.
Amen.
Right? And many years later, after the Lord left the scene, there's another apostle by the name of Paul, and we know his testimony.
Amen.
How he was riding on their way going to the journey going to Damascus, and
just take note of the words of Paul here in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So it was like Paul, he was still marveling how he killed, you know, Stephen and all the Christians, and maybe he was telling them, oh, did you see how I slashed these people and I ordered the killing of them? He was too proudful, you know, that he was marveling in all his accomplishment, and he went to the high priest and said, okay, give me the permit, I will kill them all. Right? That's Paul. I mean Saul, right? He was not yet converted during that time. And as he journeyed, the Bible said he came near Damascus. This is the point that will be, you know, broken by the Lord, right? Amen. And you see, there was a light that suddenly shined, and he said in the verse where he fell to the earth.
Yes, amen.
You know, the earth, he fell to the dust.
Amen.
From dust thou art, to dust thou return.
Exactly.
You know, a person who is in the dust can never fall. Well, how can you fall deeper than the dust, right? Unless you dig a ground and you sink yourself in that hole. But that means Paul was from somebody, he became a nobody. He was in the dust of the earth, right? He was there. See? And he got blind. He was stripped from the things that he thought he had. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was very intelligent. He was an intellectual preacher, and the prophet spoke many times about having the intellectual conception against the spiritual revelation.
Right.
And you can click that in the computer, and he said, it's just a mental conception. This is a mental conception.
Right.
These are all intellectual conception. We can have the message intellectually.
Sure.
This explains why many ministers, even ministers of message believers, been in the message for many, many, many years.
Yep.
Then suddenly, just a click of a finger, they will leave the message.
Right.
Not only leave the message, but forsake the message, go against the message, and leave. And you will see if you look at their life, they go back to the world.
Right. Sure.
They don't remain to be a Christian.
No.
They would say that they're a Christian, but the way they look.
Right.
I've seen that in different countries. I've seen that in our country, that if they start leaving the message, the first thing the women will do, they will cut their hair.
Yep.
They'll put earrings. The first thing the men will do, they'll put tattoos in their hand. It is as if they were doing this for many years, but it was not in their heart, because it was only intellectual conception. See? So as I always say, this is a marathon race, right? This is not a sprint. See, the journey that we are at, we have to finish unto the end. And you know, when you run a marathon race, you do not start fast. You do not start strong. You just keep on pacing and pacing until, but when the last about 200 meters away, you dash to the finish line. That's the way we do it.
Right.
But you can see a believer that's so strong at first, you will see after a few years, he will leave the message.
Right,
it's like you're just cranking a car. Vroom! Then after 1 mile, no more gas.
Yeah.
Right? It's like that. It's always like that wherever I go.
Right.
No matter what culture you belong to, it's always the same.
True,
see? It's always the same. You know, God's principles are universal.
Right.
See? So, God has to strip all these things from Moses, from Job, from Peter, from Paul, because God will use them.
Amen.
And God cannot use us to the fullest until we are stripped from every thinking, being self-centered that we have, because you will just be puffed up.
Yep.
No? I was telling when I was in Cloverdale, because I worked with them for 10 years. You know, I was doing all the reports, mission work reports. When funds are coming in, I will always, the same thing as I'm doing here with Brother Samuel, I will account the funds to the last cent. So if it's 0.45 cents or 0.05 cents, I will put it in the record. And it's there. Because I want to be a good steward, not to the people, but to the Lord.
Amen.
Because I will know I will be answerable for that.
Amen.
And I have to report all these things, what happened and everything to them. And for 10 years I've been doing that.
Amen.
But I told them, any one of you here remember the report I did in their pulpit in June 16, 2000, year 2002? Nobody remembered.
No.
At the end of the day, it will just be statistics.
Right.
Oh, I went there. I baptized 100. I baptized. You can baptize the whole world. Right? See? Yeah. But it's just statistics.
Yeah, right.
It's just statistics. Sometimes if you are not careful, you will say, oh, I'm better than them. I'm better than this missionary. It's nonsense.
Amen.
Because if God will not allow us to do mission works, we're nothing. See, we can go out in the field, try to accomplish so many things. You know, before when we do mission works, there's no camera. You just make it. But now everywhere you can just with your cell phone do things and make it appear that it was so hard for you. You're eating stone, you're eating grass. Yeah, but it's not true. It's not true, right? Oh, I ate this, I ate that, I stayed there, I stayed there. It has no score. When you go to heaven, there's no score. Yeah. It's in the motive of the heart. We are looking for the last predestinated seed. That's what end time evangelism is all about. Look for the last, the prophet said, what is end time evangelism? End time evangelism is looking for the last predestinated seed, so it's not for everybody, and shaping the stone. He said, stone is your confession. And then, but a stone needs a stone mason to shape. That means we can go out of missions to look for the last predestinated seed, or to look for this message believers who are not yet really matured enough. Right. So you use the gift of teaching to mature the people, but at the end of the day, it is not our accomplishment.
That's right.
It's not our accomplishment.
Right.
See? They will forget all about you.
Yep. Right. Oh, yeah.
See? But as long as they remember what you have preached to them,
right,
then you have mission accomplished.
Right. Right.
Okay? True. Many years ago, I was in Germany. I was invited there to preach in a certain church, and they said, go to this church. We have an outreach 200 miles away from the main church. So I went there. It was a house church. They welcomed me. You know, the German bride is the same as the U.S. bride. They still have the Southern hospitality there. I don't know why, but they're very hospitable. They're very good. Right? And I preached to them, and the minister was holding that group. He said, Brother Vernon, we were blessed in the way you preach, the message you delivered and everything. We will never forget you, he said. Then that was 2008. 2010, I was able to go back to Germany. And I was there, and the pastor said, go back to the same place, because they're waiting for her who went there. And the pastor, the minister said, oh, Brother Vernon, is this the first time you went here? He was telling me that he will never forget me for 24 hours. But after 2 years, he forgot everything about it. So sometimes, I do not get flattered when people say, oh, we were blessed. Because I know, that's just simple kindness. That's just respect. But if you ask, what did I preach? Well, I really didn't understand what you said. Yeah. And so we want to be a blessing to people. But we don't want to put any accomplishment in our head. Reporting is good. Mission reporting. I do mission reports in our church because I want them to know what the Lord is doing. But it's not my intention to tell them, this is your pastor, this is what I do. No. Why? Because I said, it's just statistics. If I baptize 100 souls and this brother baptized one soul, it doesn't matter. You did the same thing in front of the Lord. See? So sometimes you feel inferior because your church is small. You feel inferior because your ministry is not that big. But in the eyes of the Lord, if you became faithful to what the Lord has called you to be,
Amen.
And I believe that when you face the Lord, it will just be the same. Right? We will have our rewards for what we have done for the Lord. It's not just like the simple parable of the talents. The Lord will not ask what He has not given to you. See? So, what the Lord has gave us place in my hands, I want to be faithful.
Right.
I will not compare it with the accomplishment of other people.
Right.
I will not go, this is what we've done, this is what we've done. Of course, I need to tell it to you, to share it to you, because Brother Samuel has been engaged in the mission work in the Philippines, but that is just for information purposes.
Right.
It has nothing to do with what I have done. God could have used another person. God could have used a brother or a sister there, that not me. But the works of the Lord will still continue.
Amen.
Why? Because the right motives.
Right?
So, but if we think that we are better than the others, then we start, That's why even in the testimony, I tell my church, when you testify, make sure that you are giving glory to the Lord.
That's right.
Don't testify as if you're better than the other. Okay? That's not testimony. That's putting up yourself. And I said to the ministers, when they go out, you make your mission report. You make a mission report in such a way that the people will be blessed because of what the Lord is doing in the mission field. Not what you're doing. Not what you're accomplishing. Not what you have preached. You don't go to the in front and say, "Oh, I went there and the people were so blessed that they don't want me to go home." It's all about you. It's all about you, right? So sometimes these are little things, but sometimes these little things, you know, so we have to look at these little things. It's not so deep, but you know, when the rapture comes, you will be perfected, and even these little things will not be left, right? I mean, we have to correct these little things. And so, as I close, let me open this in the book of 2 Timothy. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says here, you know, how Paul is a typologist. He always, types the subject that he's preaching to whatever he sees in his environment. So he said in verse 3, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." In other words, if you put it in modern language, if you are in the military, don't entangle yourself with the civilian affairs.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
The civilian affairs. And so when I was 17 years old, I entered the military academy, similar as your United States Military Academy here in the West Point. I went there, a 17-year-old graduate, fresh graduate from high school. I went there, and it was, we call it a reception day. They will, this upper-class cadets will receive you. And of course, you're wearing all your civilian clothes. And the first thing you do, you line up in front of them, and they start, you know, grabbing your shirt, you know, wasting your shirt and everything, and they will strip you from all your civilian clothes, your socks, even your underwear. Then they will first put you in like a physical training, push-ups and everything, crawl there, and they will let you remove. And they will not remove you slowly, but they will rip it away from you. It was like a ritual, because from that day on, you will not be wearing civilian clothes anymore. Everything that you will wear, we are all the part of the uniform of the armed forces of the Philippines. Right. Now, I didn't understand it during that time, but later on I understand that they're trying to give us a mindset for that from that time on, we will be in the military. We don't have anything to do with the civilian affairs.
Right?
Yeah. Right? That everything we do, we have the same color of underwear, we have the same, of course, different sizes, but you know, you wear the same thing everywhere. So there's no fashion. See? If you wear all the same, all of you wearing white, there's no fashion. If all of us wear the same coat, I wouldn't say your coat is better than mine. Because it's all the same. So, what the military is trying to tell us, to train us to, is that there is equality among us. We are not to be in the affairs of the civilian life anymore. Then I became a believer. I read this. I said, this is the same thing that Paul is saying.
Right.
See, when we are called to be the soldier of Jesus Christ, we will be stripped away from anything that we know that is good for us.
Right.
And God will give us something, not our righteousness, but his robe of righteousness. Right. No longer our righteousness, because it looks like filthy rags in the Lord, in the eyes of the Lord. But he will cloth us with his righteousness.
Right.
Meaning, everything that we will do from that time on, any accomplishment that we will make, if we will be a channel of blessing to others, because the Lord always bless us so we can be a blessing.
Right?
Right? And so, if we can be a blessing to others, it's because God bless us first.
Right.
It's not because we are good people.
No.
Right. It's not because we are better than the others. And if we think that we are better than others, then God will break us.
Right.
Until our spirit is broken and we can say, "Lord, it's not me. It's all about you.
Right.
It's all about you." See? Anything that we will do henceforth from this time, we will think, "No, Lord, this is just a privilege for me."
Right.
Even I tell my church, as a pastor, it's just a privilege. I know one day, if I get old, if the Lord will tarry and I will still be here and I cannot preach anymore, I have to give up. I have to give it to somebody else.
Right.
But until then, until the Lord wants to use me and keeps me. That's why the Lord will always give something to us to keep us humble in our way. Yeah. When he says, we are sons and daughters of God, and so he sees you going astray, what will he do? He'll do something that will humble you. Always humble us. But if you're not humble enough, you will look at the child. Why is the son of this brother? Why is the sister of this brother? Why is the wife? Why is the husband like this? See? You have no compassion. You want to convict everybody that is not according to your standard. See? But then, I learned later, in the later years of my life as a message believer, it's not about our standard. It's not even our standard. We don't have standards. If I will look at my standard is far, far below the standard of the Lord. See? But the Lord will allow us to fall, to fail, to be defeated, to be disappointed, to be disillusioned. Okay, so when that time comes, that you need to have compassion for others who cannot obey the message the way they should be. We will have compassion to them. See, we will have compassion to them, and who knows, maybe the Lord will open their eyes, you know, and you'll be the tool for them to be matured in the message. But until we really get humble in ourselves, see, you will never see it. I was telling my son, my second son, he's very close to Brother John. He sometimes, because maybe of his background, he's an intelligent boy. When he was in grade one, he was transferring school, and Sister Anna, the administrator, gave her an entrance exam for grade six. But it was just grade one. But the administrator didn't know, and he didn't know, and he just answered everything. He got it perfect. An entrance exam. So that's how intelligent he is. See? So sometimes intelligent people are good, but you know, when they grow up, they believe that they're, then it came to a point in their life that he's a know-it-all. Yeah? So God has to break him in so many ways. So he applied to this job. He didn't found favor in the eyes of the superiors. He went to this job. He didn't find favor. And he said he got disappointed. He said, Papa, why is it like this? He said, I'm praying and, you know, I'm working for companies that I cannot find favor from my superiors. And I said, I think the Lord is breaking your spirit. I think the Lord is telling you something. I think the Lord is telling you to be humble enough. You know, don't trust in your own skills, in your intelligence. Just leave it to the Lord. See? And, you know, I mean, he learns his lessons and he humbles himself. He humbled himself, you know, to see what the Lord wants him to do. And I think every child of God will be like that.
Glory.
No matter how old you are, what culture you belong to, what country you belong to, as long as the Lord wants to call you and to give you something, he will give you this kind of experience. And it's for our own good anyway. And at the end of the day, we can say, Lord, thank you for breaking my spirit. Amen. And I hope that the Lord will help us. I don't know what the Lord needs to be broken in our lives, but he knows. He knows. He knows it. Sometimes even in the last portion of our life, we will have to have this breaking, right? As I told you a while ago, Brother Branham was already 2 years before he died. He still wanted the Lord to correct his motives and objectives. How much more us? Amen. We don't know when we will die or when the Lord will come. But that will be my prayer for this January. Lord, if you can see anything in my heart, any motives, any intentions and objectives that's not right with you, will you correct it for me? I will not wait for the time that he was to put me in this kind of situation that my spirit will be broken and I will cry. See? Don't. Why will you walk near the edge if you can walk in the middle? Right? It's much safer. It's always much safer. So, can we close our eyes for a while and let's just pray to the Lord before I bring it back to our pastor. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, your message is a message of restoration. Your message is a message of grace. It is a message that will lead us to our rightful position to be adopted as your sons and daughters. And Lord, having this message in our life means more than anything to us. But Lord, this message is not just for deep doctrines. This message is not just to give us an intellectual conception, Lord, but this message is for us to have a spiritual revelation, to know who we are in your sight, to know which part of the body we belong to. And Lord, we pray, and I pray, Lord, for our my brothers and my sisters here, whom I consider as a family for me. And I pray that you will bless each one of us, including myself, Lord, that you will give us a humble heart, a humble enough, Lord, to accept our mistakes, that if we will have any accomplishment in our life, we will always give the glory to you.
Right.
We will speak it to other people in such a way, not to raise up ourselves, Lord, but in such a way that we will just be showing them how you work in our life. It's all about you, Lord. You must increase in our life and you must decrease. But we need your help, Father God. We need your grace to humble ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for those instances, for those times that you have broken our spirit, because we believe, Lord, that we needed it. We need it, Lord. So I raise up to you. I commit to you, my brothers and sisters. May you bless us to the rest of the day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to call Brother Samuel. God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
Say amen.
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 Let's just sing a verse. Anybody have a need? Because, you know, we hear the word, we apply it to our own selves. You know, that's where people like our brother saying, you know, you take the word, try to apply it to everybody else. You start at home first. You start at your own self. You apply it to yourself, then you might have some effect going out somewhere else, you know, to that point. So just remember these things. What we got, brother?
Because he lives.
Amen.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Do you have a need? Just come and let's see. We've heard a great message. Now it's your children's benefit.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know.
Yes,
I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
How wonderful it is to know the word and know the truth for us. God's speaking to us.
I
trying to get us to place
tomorrow
to walk with him, right?
Because he lives.
Anybody have a need?
All my fear is gone. Because I know,
yes Lord.
I know he holds my future.
Tell our brother how much we appreciate the message, because we believe it. Let's give him another good hand. We appreciate it. Looking forward this afternoon to hearing the word of the Lord, right? Amen. Father, we thank you for the message we've heard today, and we believe it. It's applied to us and our lives and things, because it was for us. And we ask you to just open our eyes to the understanding of where you're trying to get us all to walk and to walk in your love, Lord. What a great day and a great time that we have. Just bless our brother, give him strength and body, and get him ready for this afternoon. And Lord, let our desires and our thoughts be gathered to you and guide us in your love in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
At every time.